Yeah. I think that's generally preferred. And we do both types of change in NLP, although I think the generative change is usually going to be preferred. Now, understanding this, we're going to begin to dive into quantum linguistics and the basics of quantum linguistics. How do we use our language in a way which is quantum in nature? How do we use our language in a way which deals with the quantum mechanical nature of the human being? And there's some pieces that we're going to have to put together in order to do this correctly. So here we go. First one is presuppositions. Presuppositions are the equivalent of linguistic assumptions. You can recognize the assumptions of your client's speech. That's one thing that you can do through presuppositions. And we started to learn about this earlier. And you can follow along in your manual if you'd like to on page 2-1, quantum linguistics. So the first thing you can do is recognize presuppositions in your client's speech. The next thing you can do is utilize them. So use presuppositions to directly affect someone's internal representations. Now, it doesn't matter if the presuppositions are positive or negative. The internal representation is still the same. So if I say, don't think of a blue tree, what are you thinking of? A blue tree. So if I say, don't think that this is going to be totally easy for you to do, you think of being easy in terms of how I structure the internal representations inside your mind. Now, remember that change is the order and the sequence of the internal representations inside someone's head. Change is the order and the sequence of the internal representations inside someone's head. So I'm constantly thinking, how can I change the order and sequence of the internal representations inside my client's head, or the person that I'm working with, or my student's head? Change is the order and the sequence of the internal representations inside their head. So I may use my presuppositions in a way, I may stack presuppositions, whether I'm communicating with somebody in a singular session or in a group, I may stack the use of my language, I may stack the order and sequence of their internal representations in a certain direction. With volition. Here's another part of quantum linguistics. The hierarchy of ideas. These are just the key pieces that are going to play a role in using quantum linguistics. The hierarchy of ideas. That's the level of abstraction of language makes a difference. And with the hierarchy of ideas, we know that we can either chunk up or to gain greater agreement and trance. So chunking up, we gain greater agreement and trance. Or we can chunk down for greater distinctions to bring them out of trance. So those are the two directions that we can chunk. We can chunk up and chunk down. Now you can control the level of your conversation using your language and the Meta and Milton model. So Meta model is more chunk down, where we're bringing somebody out of trance in terms of the hierarchy of ideas, whereas the Milton model is more abstract in terms of language. So we can use the hierarchy of ideas to either shift our thinking or also to shift our language. That's another piece that's going into quantum linguistics. Also, for quantum linguistics, it's important to understand that you can directionalize your language to affect the internal representations. Neurological changes can be made using directionalized language. You can control and then change the client's internal representations during normal conversation. This is if we just want to change their internal representations as we're talking to them. And this next piece is the piece... that we talked about. Let's see here. And this is that change is the order and sequence of the internal representations inside someone's head. And then here is another piece of quantum linguistics, another piece that goes into quantum linguistics. The difference between inductive and deductive language. Oh, by the way, I've got to tell you. I'll tell you in a second. Deductive language or thinking is starting with the big picture and then moving in. It's kind of like Sherlock Holmes. He starts with the big picture of something's happened here, a crime of some sort, and he begins to find the clues to find the center. Whereas inductive thinking or language is starting from the center and working one's way outside. Okay, so we can use our language in either a deductive way or an inductive way. Inductive language comes out this way. Now, we can use our thinking in this way, too, either deductive thinking or inductive thinking. What happens if we do inductive thinking, what we'll do is we'll tend to come to our own conclusions when we're doing inductive thinking, blow the boundary conditions on pre-existing concepts. And I've got to warn you that some parts of this training will be taught in an inductive way. Now. And that's for the purpose of blowing boundary conditions on pre-existing concepts. So you may find at times that you're grasping for a concept, and that's okay. You may find yourself in confusion, and that's okay. Remember, confusion always precedes understanding. So there will be some portions of this training that will be taught inductively, and that's on purpose. People are going, wow. So now let's talk about boundary conditions in the nervous system, because this is the next part of quantum linguistics. Remember, we said that if we have a problem inherent in having that problem and noticing it or observing that problem, the moment we observe that problem, we place boundary conditions on that problem. Just like when we look at this chair, we know that everything else is not chair, so we put the boundary conditions on the chair. Yes?
So you know what? So it's okay to observe a problem, because sometimes I go, oh, I don't want to think about my problems because I want to focus on what I want instead of what I don't want, but then you find yourself. So I like to get the problem and dissolve it.
I remember a problem well stated is a problem half solved. So once we've got the problem well stated, we put the boundary conditions on the problem. Just like when we say this is a chair, we know it's a chair,
right,
which means that everything else is not chair. So the moment we see the problem, we put the boundary conditions on the problem, we know that everything else is not problem. But it's not until we observe the problem that we know it's a problem. Quantum physics says that. So the moment we observe it, then we realize it's there. What we do with quantum linguistics is we get the boundary conditions on the problem. Those are the boundaries. Then we're going to use our language in a way which activates the neural networks, which kind of lights up those boundary conditions within the nervous system. And I just want you to consider what might happen. If we use our language in a way which goes into the heart of the problem, activating the neural networks of the problem, and then what would happen if we used an inductive language pattern once we were inside there? We could then blow out the boundary conditions of the problem from the inside out, which is part of the heart of quantum linguistics. Fun stuff?
Yeah. Which like blows out the problem. Basically.
Which blows out the problem in the person's nervous system. Yeah. Let me change our... That's like much like a parts integration, yeah. Much like a parts integration. So I think that, let's see, the last time we took a break was at 3. Let's take another break right now. And then we'll come back in 15 minutes. So let's come back at 10 till break time. Ready, go.